the lesson from Acts. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. And at that time, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all outside, and then he knelt down and he prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. And this became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And meanwhile, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain man, Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple of years back, at another church which I once pastored, an old woman well into her 90s passed away. She had spent the last years of her long life sewing dresses which she sent to children in the global South and making quilts which the church gave to families seeking shelter from homelessness. At her funeral, the last of the dresses and the quilts that she had made were hung up front at the altar. And photos of children wearing her dresses in places like Haiti and Guatemala were shown up on the screen. She had turned her own funeral into a fashion show. And the sanctuary was literally filled with the good works of her hands and of her heart. If we had been there that day in Joppa near Lydda, we would have seen that the disciple Dorcas did the very same thing. She turned her own funeral into a fashion show of her own good works. Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, which is not a bad idea when your name is Dorcas, this early disciple of Jesus spent her days comforting and caring for the widows and the poor in her little village. And when the Apostle Peter was summoned from Lydda to come to Joppa because Tabitha was ill, in the upper room, he found her body surrounded by not only the women she had helped, but also the coats and the tunics and the other clothing that she had made while she was still alive. She was dead, but her good works were all about her in that upper room. And when Peter raised her from the dead, saying, "Tabitha, get up," Tabitha opened her eyes in the upper room where her body had been brought, and she saw herself surrounded by the good and caring works which she had made with her own hands and her own heart. It is, in my interpretation, a profound living parable of life and of death and of resurrection. For the good book says that into that great upper room, our good deeds will follow us. And the saints will be clothed there, the Bible says, in the linen fabric of our own good works. Our deeds follow us, and our funerals become fashion shows. And the testimonies of the widows and the impoverished and the single moms and the immigrant sons say it all. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I couldn't afford decent clothing, you put a shirt on my back and shoes on my feet. Those were, of course, Jesus's almost last words about where it would be, where we could find him amongst the sons and daughters and the siblings of humanity. He would be amongst the poor, in the arms of the indigent, in the diapers of a child born to the undocumented. And he said, we will be so surprised to discover when we awaken in that upper room just who it was that we were serving when we clothed and when we cared. There will be surprise indeed. And I imagine that there's going to be some surprise for the critic of Broadway who sometime back sent me an email about what he sees as our overemphasis on social ministries as a church. He began by quoting from what I think is a lovely book by Max Lucado. It says this: if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Fair enough. Then he went on to apply it to Broadway. If our greatest need had been clothing, God would have sent us a tailor. If our greatest need had been food, God would have sent us a chef. If our greatest need had been shelter, God would have sent us a realtor. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Broadway, he went on to say, does great work in the quote-unquote social gospel arena, but gets failing grades in the gospel arena. Well, I suppose that's one person's opinion. But not the one which I consider the most important. And to me, it comes from a place of, well, let's just say privilege. And I think totally misses the point of what I really believe the gospel is all about. Beloved, can I tell you that there are hungry people for whom our daily sack lunches are indeed gospel good news? And there are poor people going out for job interviews for whom the suits in our clothing closet are the very fulfillment of Jesus' words found in the Gospel of Matthew about Solomon not being clothed greater than some of these. And there are men who stay in our room in the inn dorm on a hot summer's eve and frigid cold February night for whom our church is literally a matter of life and death and a sanctuary and shelter of the Most High God. This, beloved, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is, well, a surprise of God, who, when we were indeed in need of forgiveness for things done and left undone, sent and still sends us a Savior who was hungry and had nowhere to lay his head. It is a surprise, perhaps, but if we read and believe the red letters in the good book, then maybe not so much. However, if we do read our Bibles, there is a wonderful surprise in this story about Tabitha, which I think is important to pay attention to. After Peter was brought to Joppa to take care of Tabitha, he stayed in town with a tanner named Simon because Peter himself had, like the tanner, been made unclean, having touched death in the upper room. And it was there, as word about all that had taken place in Joppa got around, there at Simon the tanner's house, that Simon Peter had a dream. And what he dreamed was that the gospel of Jesus Christ was soon going to be opened to everybody in the world, Jew and Gentile, so-called clean and unclean alike. And Peter awoke from the dream with a knock at his door by a Gentile who was asking, "For whom is the gospel for?" And like a little tiny tributary, like a little tiny trickle of a tributary that determines the course of the whole mighty Mississippi, Tabitha's little acts of good works determined the course of the whole church. And that, friends, is what old Paul Harvey used to call the rest of the story. If you don't know who Paul Harvey was, then you will repent of your youth one day too. History turns on small hinges. Just a woman taking care of widows and their children in the neighborhood, and the next thing you know, the whole church and world are changed for the sake of God's gospel. History turns on small hinges, and God wastes nothing. And Mother Teresa used to say, we cannot all do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. And Tabitha did. And when she opened her eyes in the upper room, she discovered that her funeral had become a fashion show, and her simple caring for neighbors and for friends, the fire that sparked a revolution of love and compassion all the way around the world, for which we are the beneficiaries. We have no idea what God's going to do with our little acts of love. But we do know this. We know that they matter. One of these days, in that getting up morning, we're going to open our eyes up in the upper room, and we're going to discover that the social gospel is the gospel. And a cup of cold water unto the least of these is one unto the Lord. And a coat or a tunic or a quilt for a widow down here on earth, a part of our own righteous wardrobe up in heaven. The funeral is going to become a fashion show. Let us dress not so much to impress, but to show that we really did care. Let us care. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen.